Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. This is Mama T, your host. I'm glad you chose and were willing to tune in and listen in. Hey, I'm continuing the series on the sowing the seeds, and I'm gathering all the different parables or stories that Jesus told in the Gospels that are referring to the seed. I love that because really when you think about this, what the scriptures say in Matthew 13:19, it says that those that hear the word of God and the enemy comes and snatches it away quickly and they don't understand. So he's equating the word with the seed or the seed with a word. And remember, we talked about what parables were, stories were. They're earthly stories that have spiritual meaning to us and for us. And only way we can understand those meanings, those spiritual meanings through these earthly stories is that we have to believe. And we'll see how that works. And you have to believe what Jesus says about your relationship with him, with the Father, and with one another, and with the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth, with life in general. Then in Mark, it says, in Mark 4:14, the sower sows the word. I just want you to see how he's using this earthly seed but he's that we know about. We can touch and taste and feel and even see the harvest, but he's using that as a contrast, as a comparison to the word of God that comes out of God's word and out of God's mouth. It's like a seed that we can't see, touch, and grab, okay? We just have to believe it by faith. And then in Luke 8:11, it says the seed, I love this one, it says the seed is the word of God. So bottom line, that's it. So these stories that he's telling, he's talking about the word of God being sown into the heart or into the ground of different kinds of people. And when you understand these different types of soil that the seed's being sown in, he says in the passage, I believe it's Mark 4:13, he says, if you understand these parables, the sower and the seed, then you understand all the other ones. Isn't that beautiful? So I just pray that you will believe what you're hearing on this show and then implement them as the Lord leads. But first, I want to dedicate this show, this episode, to a cousin of mine. I won't mention their names, but they know who they are. They blessed me really good and surprisingly just last week. And we had a long chat on the phone. It was beautiful. But I want to dedicate this particular parable, why Jesus told stories and why he told parables. And I really believe any good teacher, leader, pastor, anybody that's in a leadership position should really implement telling more of Jesus' parables or using parables that God's given you to help communicate these spiritual, almost unbelievable truths that God has spoken and said that is true. But I have a poem I wrote. It's called Everything, Everything, and this is dedicated to my cousin. Everything, everything, I search no more. I found myself and my Savior and Lord. Everything, everything, my destiny is clear. I see now why I stumbled so many years. Everything, everything, freely given to me. No more begging, performing, trying to appease. I discovered he's everything I'll ever need. I'm living by faith, positioned in his divine love. With poetic lyrics, he's calling you from above. He'll be your everything, everything, and never leave you alone. Won't you stop your busyness and be still and see? He's your everything, everything. Just believe and receive. Everything, everything, a new you could be. Everything old can be gone and a newness of life in thee. Will you choose him now as your everything? Why? Because if anyone is in Christ, everything, everything is all brand new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. So that's for my cousin. And I also have a song called Everything at the end. But for everybody that's listening, just know that Jesus Christ is all you need. He is the Redeemer, the Savior of the whole world. And he is the only way. Let me say that again. He is the only way that you can reach and getting connected with God and spend all eternity with him. That's what he said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And there's no other name in heaven or on earth that anybody can call on that'll get them to heaven except through Jesus Christ. That's Acts 4:12 modified. So it's important we hear what Jesus has to say because our eternal destiny is at stake. Let me read this verse before I start on my notes here. But right here, I just love this. This is in Matthew 23, after Jesus basically is just wiping out people, false teaching, false teachers, false religion, anything that doesn't line up with God's word. But then he begins to lament over the city of Jerusalem. And he says, Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the ones who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. I love this part. But it says, but you were not willing. You see that? Brothers and sisters, we have the power to choose life or death, blessings or cursing. And God tells us in his word in Deuteronomy 30:19, choose life so that you and your descendants can live. And Jesus Christ is eternal life. That's why we call our show The Gift of Life. And then here's another one. Here's one of Jesus' disciples in John 20:25. This is after Jesus Christ is risen. He has made his appearance to the disciples. Thomas wasn't there, so the disciples were telling him what they saw. And this is what Thomas said before he saw Jesus. Jesus came back again. It says, so the disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, this is Thomas, if I don't see in his hands the prints of the nails and put my fingers in the prints of the nails, and if I don't put my hands in his side, I will not believe. See? Brothers and sisters, my whole point is you must take the word of God seriously and believe it. If God said it, that settles it. And again, you must remember that you have to continue to sow the seed in your own soil, in your own heart, so that you will be evangelically sowing the seeds in other people's hearts, okay? Because as you think, that's the way you're going to act. So if you're not being effective and sowing seeds in the hearts of other people on a regular natural basis, reproducing yourself in the name of the Lord, then your thinking is wrong. Everything starts with a thought. Either you're thinking God's thoughts or his words or his seeds, or you're thinking Satan's seeds and his thoughts. And Satan comes to blind people, 2 Corinthians 4:4, so that you won't see and understand this. But I'm praying that your eyes will be opened up, that your eyes will see and your ears will hear, just like Jesus was hoping that they would do this in Matthew 13, but he had to quote to Isaiah 9 to say, hey, you got ears to hear what you don't hear, and you got eyes to see what you don't see. So only those that can see and understand and believe what God says are you going to get the understanding about the parables. With the earthly story being told, that's tangible, understandable, you can see, taste, feel, and touch it, but it has a spiritual connection by your identity and relationship with God. And that's what counts and that's what's important. So, like I said earlier, I've been talking about the sower. You can go to their lovebyexample.com. I talked about the sower and sowing the seeds. I talked about the wheat and the tares. I talked about the mustard seed. Talked about the growing seed. And so today I'm just going to I'm not summarizing, but I just want to talk about why Jesus was teaching parables in the sower about, you know, sowing the seeds and all these other ones that I'm going to talk about later on. But right now, let's just look at my notes here together, and I pray that your eyes will be open so you can see in the name of the Lord. It has been said that the parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The Lord Jesus frequently used stories or parables as a means to illustrate profound, divine, invisible truths. Stories which, as these, are easily remembered, and their character is bold, and they have a symbol and a symbolized rich meaning behind them, or a spiritual rich meaning behind it. Parables were a common form of teaching in Jesus' day. Before a certain point in his ministry, Jesus had employed many graphic analogies using common things that would be familiar to everyone, like salt, bread, sheep, and etc. And their meaning was fairly clear in the context of his teaching. Parables required more explanation, and at one point in his ministry, Jesus began to teach using nothing but parables. So that's why it's important for us to understand these parables. They're not just see a parable not explained is just a nice earthly story, but you need to get the understanding, because that's his purpose for telling the parables, because only those who believe will get the understanding. Okay, so the question is why Jesus would let most people wonder about the meaning of these parables. The first instance of this is in his telling the story of the seed and the sower. And before he interpreted this parable, he told his disciples and drew them aside, and they came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Then Jesus answered them basically, and he said this: "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." Here it is. "For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while they see, they do not see, and while they do not hear, nor do they understand." He is talking about, basically, those who have will be given more. That's basically saying, those who believe what I'm saying, you'll get more. Those of you who don't believe, like Thomas said, "I will not believe." Like Jesus said that Jerusalem was not willing to believe. You don't get it, because God's not going to force you to believe in him. It is your power to choose what you hear, you believe, or you reject it. And this is why it's important to know the truth, because Satan comes to disguise and masquerade and twist the word of God. And then that sin that's in us in Romans 7, 17 and 20, that's his ally, the remaining old stinking thinking thoughts, the old cult that Paul calls it. It's depraved, it's depravity, it's connected with Satan. That old cult that we still have, even though we're brand new nature, you know, but that old man that still lingers on, it's not an old nature, that's not biblical, but an old man that still lingers on, that doesn't have control anymore over the believer, but still lingers there. If it's allowed to creep into our mind and we accept those thoughts, then what's going to happen? We're going to be living from that particular thought life and that pattern. And this is what we need to be renewing our minds and detoxing these toxic thoughts and hearing these stories that Jesus is telling us about. So this is what he's talking about. These people don't want to believe. So if they don't want to believe, they're not going to be able to receive. And the ones that do, basically, like Isaiah said, they will receive. You'll get more. So if you feel like your life is not an abundant life, and you're not living in your promised land, that you haven't answered those questions that I have in my book, and you don't feel comfortable with your life, because I have this in my book. It says, I asked the question, three questions. In my book, I'm referring to Do You See What I See? If you haven't received that book, you need to order that book. It is so simple and so powerful. God wrote this book. But I ask questions that I believe that's really common questions on page 17. Three questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what's my purpose? Simple. Who am I? Why am I here? And what's my purpose? A lot of believers cannot answer those questions specifically and are not living in those questions or the answers of those questions specifically. So they wander around, just like the children of Israel wandered around the mountain for 40 more years until they died off, and then a new generation entered the promised land, except for Caleb and Joshua. And so, you know, it is so important to understand your purpose, why you're here, who you are, first of all, in Christ, why you're here, and what is your spiritual gift purpose. That's it. That is it. So the parables will help you to understand that if you believe. So if from this point on in Jesus' ministry, Jesus began to speak in parables. He explained them only to his disciples. Now, you know, when you say disciple, see, the word disciple means learner. Someone that's following and learning. How can he teach a person that's not following him and not learning? See? And it's not because he doesn't want to. We already saw what he said over there in Matthew 23:37. He would lament. He was crying. You could feel his feelings. He goes, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He says, "You who killed the prophets and stone those that I've sent, I wanted to gather you like a hen would gather her chickens. I wanted to gather you and your children, but you would not." He's not going to force us. It is our choice, our responsibility. I believe true healing comes because of what Christ has already done. True healing comes to a person to experience when they take responsibility for their thought life. Since everything begins and ends in their thought life, you have the power to choose, but you need to make sure you're choosing right. And the only way you're going to know if you're choosing right is to be into the Word of God. Be in the Word of God. And one of the illustrations and the comparison is like sowing the seed. So the bottom line is you have to ask yourself, examine yourself. Are you sowing seeds in your mind? And are you believing them? And are you believing them enough to where you're memorizing them? It just touches your heart. And you memorize it. And then you begin to meditate on it. Make it personal. And then you begin to mouth it. You start telling other people. You start sharing. That's when you're sowing the seed. And that's when you're reproducing that seed. One seed can reproduce a whole forest. And so, again, you need to hang around other believers that think like that, because we are, another analogy, members of the body of Jesus Christ. We're all members of the body of Christ, but we all have different functions, just like our physical body has many members, but each member has a specific design, creative function to make the whole body work together. Isn't that beautiful? So if you want to see the pulsating life of the Holy Spirit moving through you, you first got to make sure you're sowing the correct seed in you. So that's what a disciple is. A disciple is someone that's learning and following Jesus. But those who had continually rejected, just the opposite now, his message, were left in spiritual blindness to wander and worry and wander around with no meaning. And that's what we have today. A lot of believers just wandering around, going to church, going to different dinners, going to different concerts, different functions, church functions. But when the dust settles and they get home, there's no real life transformation, really. They're really not fulfilled and content knowing that they spent time ministering and being ministered to in the name of the Lord. Or if there it is, it's spotty. It's like maybe once or twice a week you get excited about something, but it doesn't last. It's not real. It's not genuine. It hasn't become yours. You haven't owned up to that, to who you really are in Christ. That's why I believe people need to go back to the cross. That's what we're doing in Ephesians. We're studying the book of Ephesians and Romans, and we're memorizing large portions of scriptures in both books. But what it's doing is taking us to Revelation, where God said that we would be blessed when we're in Revelation. So we're camping at the seven churches, and especially Ephesus, the church that was on fire for God in a wicked, horrible culture. But you know, as beautiful as they were on fire for God, as many commendations that the Lord gave them, don't you know, he said, look at, you need to remember, you're forgetting your first love. He said, go back to your first love. And your first love, really, as a born-again believer, is what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross. You need to slow your roll and go back and spend time looking at that old rugged cross in the area of your thought life, and then by faith, and whatever it takes. Like I wear this seed around my neck, a peach seed, that reminds me of my new birth, 1 Peter 1:3-23, and that I've been born again, that the old is gone, like Galatians 2:20, that I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by faith. It's all by faith, by the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. And so now my position has changed. My position has changed. My idea has changed. It's not like it was before I met Christ. With people, with sin, with Satan, with myself, with God, with Jesus, it's totally different. Just the opposite. Now I can walk in newness of life. And that's what our four P's is all about. In my book, position, power, new power. Resurrection power through the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And then I perform from those P's, my position of power, from my victorious position of power. Then I'm always aware I'm in his presence all the time. So I don't have I do have a set time that I spend time with the Lord. But even when I'm through with that and I need to be about what I do, he's right there with me. I'm talking and communing with him all the time, all the time. Very seldom, it's just like I don't compartmentalize God, put him over there and put this activity over there. No, he's become part of me because I know who I am in Christ. So I don't wander around anymore. Hallelujah. I'm moving straight ahead, pressing to the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. So he makes a clear distinction between those who have been given ears to hear and those who persist, see, choose to disbelieve and doubt his word of God. And this is like 2 Timothy 3:7. It says, what does it say? They have the knowledge. They're always learning and have the knowledge, but they're never able to come to the actual acknowledgement of the truth of God's word. So that's in 2 Timothy 3:7. The disciples have been given the gift of spiritual discernment when they believed in God. You get everything that pertains to life and godliness. And that is a gift by the Holy Spirit, because they accepted, not rejected, but they accepted the truth that Jesus was teaching. And they were given more truth. See, because they believed. Wow. Whew, this is so exciting. And so the same thing is true today of believers who have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the second P, the power. Not our power, because in ourselves dwells no good thing. We have nothing within our humanness that can defeat Satan and please God. Nothing. We're talking about a spiritual level, a whole new level, an invisible level, a spiritual warfare level that only in Christ, in his spirit, can defeat those toxic thoughts and those lying demons on the outside. So through the Holy Spirit, John 16:13 and 14:26, he is the one that will guide us and remind us how we're to live this life if we're in the Word. And he is the one that opens up our eyes to see the light of God's truth and open up our ears to hear the sweet words of eternal life. He is our everything, everything that we need as born-again believers. And this is my heart, that the believers, this is my target, to talk to believers, young and old, rich or poor, whatever. If you have Christ and you profess to know Jesus Christ, I want to teach you how to access and how to experience that resurrection power and that newness that you have available to you. A new life, new citizenship, a new nature, new power, new righteousness, a new covenant. We're in a whole new covenant. We're joint heirs with Christ, and we're heirs of Abraham's seed, which is in Christ. Everything that Christ is, we have. 1 John 4:8. We are. Oh my gosh, there's just so much that we have that we can do together if we allow him to teach us and strip off those old garments, strip off that old stinking thinking, strip off that old religious tradition and all that carnality stuff, external stuff. God looks at the heart. It's the condition of the heart about these sowers sowing a seed into the ground. It's the condition. It's not the sower, nothing wrong with the sower, and there's nothing wrong with the seed. It's the condition of a person's heart. God looks into the heart. Human beings, we humans, we look on the external and judge from there. Now, we can determine and look at externals by the fruits. We have to have fruits. There should be fruits there that we can tell. But the only way you're going to be able to discern the right fruit, the holy fruit, God's fruit, is from the Word of God. So everything goes back to the seed, to the Word of God. Hallelujah. So our Lord, he has got, and he has spoken some beautiful truths in these parables, and they should be like sweet music to our ears. Simply put it, these are those who have an interest in the deep things of God, followers of Christ, they disciples of Christ. They have an interest. You don't have to tell somebody to get in the Word of God, to go out and witness. You know, you get together to encourage each other up, to fellowship, to worship together, but then you disperse to go out to make more disciples. So, but you also have the others that don't want to do this. They don't want, aren't willing to let God become first in their life. So he speaks in parable to those who are not. He speaks to parables to those who are genuinely hungry, and those who aren't, they automatically are rejected. It's on them. It's not that God is causing that to happen, because he has not made us robots. So again, parables are portable, effective stories that people can carry around in their mind. They give you a rich imagery, and they're not forgotten. So the parables that Jesus tell, they're a blessing for those who have willing ears to hear and willing eyes to see. But those that have a dull heart, like the soils and the seeds, the hard unbelieving, the uncommitted and the unfruitful because it's weedy, those that are like that, they're not going to receive it. But you need to be the good soil and realize that he is everything that you need. And brothers and sisters, I'll see you next time. And cousin, I love you and bless you.
are you? Let the melody be more than sweet, but the way I say thank you for second chances, grace and compassion, and for your love in spite of all the wrong I seem to do. What more can I say? But I appreciate the way you care for me.